What about neoadjuvant endocrine therapy? That's utilized a lot overseas. We have more sensitivity now to the issue that maybe even these tumors that are strongly ER and PR positive aren't even as sensitive to chemotherapy and certainly sensitive to hormone therapy. What about that in clinical practice?
I think neoadjuvant endocrine therapy is clearly something that is underemployed in the United States. As you point out, there's a host of studies that show that a predictor of poor response to neoadjuvant chemotherapy is the presence of positive ER or ER and PR, so that if you have a large low-grade tumor which strongly expresses hormone receptor positivity, the best way to shrink it is with endocrine therapy. I think the concern with that approach here has been that this is often a slow process where it takes you a good 3 or 4 months to see that response, and physicians get uncomfortable that response isn't happening. Patients sometimes get uncomfortable, and that has been an uncommonly employed approach here. There's no reason not to do it.
Getting back to the issue of surgery after neoadjuvant systemic therapy, you mentioned the issue of how the tumor recedes and whether or not you're going to have positive margins. Are there any clues that you have clinically before surgery in terms of whether or not you're going to be able to successfully do breast conservation?
Well, I think clearly the greater the degree of radiologic response. So if you have someone who has both a clinical and a radiologic complete response, it's relatively uncommon to go in there and find very extensive tumor. If you have someone who appears to have had no response clinically and radiologically, that's usually fairly reliable. It's when you have some degree of shrinkage and some residual tumor, which is evident, that it's often hard to judge how much extra microscopic disease is around.